What is up, everybody? We got so much to talk about tonight. There is so much going on in the golfing world. New night that we're recording Tuesdays. There's a couple reasons for that. We're going to play it off as most of the time big golf news comes out on Tuesdays, and us recording on Mondays really leaves us out of the loop when it comes to big stories. I've been watching X Live for a while now, just waiting for the news of John Rahm going to Live. Everybody is saying it's a done deal. A lot of writers, a lot of people that have been predicting Live and have been accurate, because there's a bunch that have been way wrong.
Hey, honestly, by the hat that Dan's wearing, it looks like he's going to Live soon.
So we had the VGN finals this past weekend. Tiger was back out on the course. The Rahm rumors are going on. The rollback for the golf ball is a huge topic that's going on. Joe and I participated for the first time in a Loop Golf Club, the betting app that's out right now. That was really cool today. The Grand Thornton Invitational is this weekend, where the LPGA and the PGA are playing together out in Naples. And we have a guest. Hi, Jed.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's fun to finally be on a show. it feels like the first time.
A little bit of a role reversal for you.
And a lot of fun things for me. You guys were the model, right, for me, just because you had done it locally. And it was just something that I was trying to chase. And you guys know Pat from the Vegas Bag Room. He was doing one, starting one right at the same time I was trying to start mine. And I remember talking to Joe, his buddy, and saying, the Chasing Daylight guys have got to figure it out. And Joe was like, well, these mics are the first step. And so that's where we got the mics. And
yeah,
it all kind of boiled down from there. But yeah, I've been a fan for longer than I've known you guys. So this is cool.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the show. We're going to get in with you for a little bit. Something else that took place today, our raffle winner, Sean Wood, joined Jeremy, Joe, and myself out at Southern Highlands for the SNGA event today.
Our third raffle winner.
Nobody else needed to know that. That's new. What an amazing day it was out there. A lot of people, you know, don't understand why we live in Vegas. Why do you live in Vegas? It's Sin City. There's so much crime. There's so much drugs. There's so much sex. And there's all that. Just, you know why? Because it was 70 degrees today. And we played Southern Highlands. It was amazing.
Perfect.
The weather was unbelievable. The golf course was in phenomenal shape. You know, we will continue to brag about how we whooped Derek Carr's ass at his own tournament there last year, but we haven't played it since then. And they've made some changes to that golf course where they have made the fairways almost non-existent. Because I sure as hell couldn't find one all day long today. Joe was striping it down the middle, but Jeremy and I and Sean were playing out of the rough, which there's more rough than fairway. Good Lord.
There's a lot of out there.
Jeremy, what was your thoughts on the day?
Man, the rough was very tough. Like, there was some sticky, super sticky situations in there. You don't get spin, so you have to think. And the greens were quick, so you have to think about where you're going to land it, how much rollout there's going to be. It's just tough. Like, when, especially if you're not hitting the ball how you normally do or you expect to, that course will expose you and it leaves you with no confidence at the end. So, but it's Southern Highlands. Like, it's still the best day ever. So, you know, it's a balancing act. Disappointment, but it was Southern Highlands. So it was a lot of fun. Can't wait to get out there again someday, hopefully.
Yeah. Joe.
Yeah.
This was your first time playing your own ball, because we played it. It was a scramble last time.
Yeah. RTJ's last course. I mean, it shined a little more for me today. I mean, obviously hitting my own ball most of the time. Loop Golf Club was a fun addition to the round. Greens were quick. Shout out Steve Barber. He was our caddy. Really did a great job.
Steve-O,
fantastic. I mean,
Steve-O was on it, man.
He was jumping around. Always. I mean, one of the best caddies I've ever had, personally. Mm-hmm. So, it was a great day. Greens were quick, fantastic shape, great scenery, great people. Had a really good time. Had it going for a minute, lost it for a bit, but Very strategic with the rough. But like Jeremy mentioned, I mean, a lot of it was down grain, so that helped a little bit, but no spin. Had some issues with the bunkers because we don't see bunkers like that very often that are in really good shape. So
it was fun playing out of the bunkers.
Yeah, I wish I had good shape.
I
wish I had more bunker shots so I could kind of learn how to hit out of those bunkers because they are pristine, and you know we don't get that very often in Vegas. So it was a great time.
You know, my first one shot in the bunker, I kind of fluffed it and didn't hit it very well. But everyone after that, I was on it, man. And God, it was fun to hit out of that.
Yeah, my little steep open face puncher didn't work very well. You got to flip it a little bit more. So.
Yeah, the hard pan Revere bunker shot. If you do that out there, you'll hit the ball maybe 6 inches.
Yeah. But I did win the front nine, the back nine, and the overall nine against Matt in the Loop Golf app. So that's a win.
Yeah.
But I did get the new shafts in my club. So shout out Matt for building a non-spinning furrow club set.
I was giving him shit. That's why he's saying that.
No spinners?
Yeah. No spree wells on the ferrules yet. Okay, so we'll see how those come.
Okay. But,
the new clubs are feeling good. It was my fourth or fifth round with them, and they're vibing a little bit. And so, yeah. Shout out to the Breakfast Ball Custom Shop Garage.
Garage Shop.
Makeshift.
New name.
Madera Canyon Club Builders.
PayPal invoice is coming to a computer near you.
Yeah. With service fee.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Tiger in the news. Tiger's back. Jed, are you a Tiger Woods fan or?
Sure. Okay. Tiger was the boom before the pandemic. He was the original golf boom.
Yeah. Exactly.
He was
back in action, much different swing, very upper body, even more so now than it was when he came back from the last comeback before the last comeback before the last comeback before the last comeback. Smashing the ball. It's amazing. His ability to hit a golf ball is so good that they just tell him, hey, you can't do this anymore. You can't use the ground to generate speed. Okay, I'm just going to bulk up like a freaking wrestler and just, I mean, God, yeah. He's yoked.
He looks like a monster out there.
It was good to see him back for sure. And that course is, it's always a fun one to watch.
I mean, it reminded upper body swing. It reminded me of L Dan's. I mean, just power. From the fucking chest, just El Dan is out there just pounding shit. So
yep,
he's a pounder. But it was good to see him back. I mean, and with his thought process, trying to play one tournament a month, we're gonna see him. I would think even if he doesn't hold up to that, I think we're gonna see him at least five times next year. I think we're gonna see him for the majors, and we're gonna see him at least one other. We'll probably see him at Riviera,
maybe Arnold Palmer.
Maybe Arnold Palmer. I don't know. You got to work out with the schedule, but we're going to see him a little bit more, I think, which everybody should be down for. I'm definitely down for it. So
yeah,
he always brings the crowd. He brings the eyes. So I'm excited.
And he looked like he could play.
He looked good.
Dan, did you see any of it?
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. I saw a few minutes in the first and second round, but yeah, it's good to see him out there again. You know, of course he's the big name. He's the big draw. Everybody likes to see Tiger. So hopefully he can, stick around a little bit more. And I didn't really notice the limp a whole lot. So
it was much less.
Yeah. So maybe, this once a month is actually doable, which would be awesome.
Yeah. And I saw him, he didn't have the full sleeve on his leg. He had there was a part where he just had like a band on. So that's where the bolts are.
That's where he plugs in at. Yeah.
That's where
that's the USB-C port.
That's the connection. Yeah. But, oh shit. What was I just going to say? Yeah, I think he did really well. I mean, it was great to see him. We haven't seen Sunday Red in a long time, so it was awesome to see.
Yeah. So other news that took place in the Bahamas. What I was gonna say.
Did you see the video where he might break up with Nike?
Yeah. Yep.
I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Is that over them not being able to make him shoes?
I don't know, I've seen a couple posts about it. So there's a potential breaking moment with Tiger and Nike, which would be
that would be massive. Insane.
Whoa. That would be crazy. So I don't know. We'll see.
Wow. Okay, so let's where what does he do? What does he?
Yeah, where would Tiger?
Where
go?
Would Tiger seems go? Like, for...
She gotta go.
Yeah. It seems like Nike would be more likely to just buy out the next company that Tiger goes to.
Right? Yeah.
It's in their best interest.
Hey, JL Lindbergh, you are now Nike by Lindbergh.
K-Juice, you are now T. Woods. No, I mean, he's been wearing FootJoys. That's no secret, obviously. But if I was Tiger, I would just create my own shit.
Yeah.
He has it all. It's just under the Nike umbrella.
Yeah, I know that. But I mean... I mean, he probably gets, what, 60, 70% of that at tops? I mean.
Woodswear.
Yeah, Woodswear. Dub dubs.
Woodswear.
I don't know. I mean, we'll see. And it's not confirmed. We've just seen it. So it's going to be interesting because that would be a massive breakup in the game.
That would be. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other thing that took place in the Bahamas is Scottie Scheffler, he won the Hero, and he had a new putter in his bag. We were teasing this last week a little bit. I had heard some rumors that this was going to happen, but Scottie is now working with Logan Olson, and everybody knows, big Olson fanboy, I've been following Logan for a long time. I currently have 4 Olson putters, which... One I use.
When did you get your first
grand each?
What's that?
When did you get your first Olson?
The first one, it was right after he started. I mean, he maybe had 200 followers, I think. It was really early. I saw the people, the company that did my breakfast ball head covers. They posted a photo of the original Olson head cover, and I was like, "Who's that?" And so I looked him up. And reached out to him and did a review for him. And he sent me a putter. Then I ordered a putter. Then I ordered another putter. Then I ordered another putter.
But, yeah.
I'm blown away that he has locked this out. He said that, you know, he's been working with some top players in the world. A little bit more came out today when pictures of Nelly Korda's new putter that she's gaming. Yeah. This weekend. Now, I don't know if she's gaming it, but she was seen playing with it. So I don't know if she'll have it on the course. I don't know if you looked through those photos that I sent you guys, but
yeah, it looked a little different. Olson with the weights at the bottom. I mean, that's
the weights at the bottom. And then he also took the TaylorMade face, the insert.
Yes.
True and, old face.
And milled it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Into the face. So,
yeah.
I mean, that tells me he's working with TaylorMade.
And there was a TaylorMade grip on it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, how old is he now? He's 25, 26?
24, 25, something like that. Yeah, he's still a baby.
It's crazy.
Genius.
So he's going to be the Scotty Cameron of Titleist, but with TaylorMade.
Maybe. So,
we'll see.
I think he's on his way.
It's trending that way.
So crazy.
It's definitely trending that way. And when
you have...
Do you
have a Circle L? You got a Circle L?
I do. I have
they'll call it the Big O.
The Big O.
Joe, keep that putter locked up in the safe.
Yeah, it's over here. It's I got one at least.
Yeah, know, Joe's got 4, one. But hey, you know, sometimes, you know.
I mean, Matt has a 1 of 13, so, or 1 of 12 now, so.
1 of 12. Like, yeah, so I don't know if you guys, I don't know if you know this. So Logan made a special run of 13 putters. It's got a copper face insert. It's stunning. It's beautiful. So one of the guys that owns one sent it back to him and had him change it and put a plumber's neck on it because it's got a flow neck. And so this guy now thinks that it has more value because it's a 1 of 1. And a lot of people in the Olson community believe, no, that's not the case because you took a 1 of 13 and changed it. So it may be a 1 of 1, but it's still 1 of 13.
Yeah.
That has been changed. So anyways,
I know Erica thought you were crazy when you spent $1,200 on a putter, but I mean, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off at some point.
Well, the value has gone in. I mean, people are selling them for like double
four
and
times.
Triple what they were selling them for 3 weeks ago. So, it may be time to let some go, but hey, you know what? Congrats to him and Scottie
Scheffler.
There's
a long way to go for that. Like,
oh yeah. I mean,
he's going to be in a lot of putters' bags.
You get in the bag of the number one player and he wins his first event with that. I mean, it's a limited field and no cut, but still he did play.
Especially when that number one player has been putting like trash for the past year. I mean, come on.
And now Nelly Korda. So, just a matter of time before we see some of the other TaylorMade people, maybe, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Interesting story.
All right.
We'll keep you informed.
So, real quick on the ROM rumors, do you guys think it's true? Think he's gone? What's your feeling?
I think if there's this much talk about it, he's gone.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Jed, that's what you think?
I think he's definitely gone. And I think that it's funny the way people look at all of this differently, but the money, everybody's chasing the money. So you just have to expect it eventually. I'm surprised it's not happening even more and more frequently now that it's just becoming so there's so many defections.
The Tiger Golf League gets shut down because
Rahm originally dropped out of that
he left, and you wonder if the Tiger thing not happening was another reason, like he's bailing because I'm not going to get paid. Like he was expecting money from the Tiger Golf League. Liv comes to him and they're like, hey, you got to start getting rid of these, attachments to the PGA. If we're going to do this, he bails on that. Now, it's wild, Dan.
I think
Dan,
that was the telltale sign. I mean, him dropping out of that was he's going to live.
Scotty D says he's gone.
Yeah, I agree. I think with him dropping out and pulling out all that stuff, and then I think I heard he withdrew today from the Amex Championships or something like that coming up.
Really?
I think, but I maybe I'm mistaken. I've been at work a lot, and especially if the rumors are true, over $500 million or something like that for some of these offers. A lot of money to say no to.
That's a lot of money. A lot of money. Okay, so everybody's in agreement. Rahm is gone. So
gone. Got him out.
If he stays, great. But, I mean, he got that Masters invite for the rest of his life, so.
I don't know how Seve's going to feel about that, but, to each his own, I guess.
Well, he's hanging with Sergio again, so.
Yeah.
But they said some of the stories were he'll have his own team. So.
Makes sense.
So he will probably take Sergio? Over. Yeah, yeah. Sergio Garcia is out, and Rahm's going to be the captain of the Fireballs, probably. Or Sergio's going to be assistant, whatever that might come to be. But you can't have Rahm on a team and him not be the captain. So
are they really named the Fireballs?
I think they are. Yeah, right? That's Sergio's team.
I don't know.
What's your name?
Seriously, it's so creative.
Their names are so terrible. So
bad. I mean, even like the TGL names that were coming out were better than, and they were still kind of cheesy, but they were even better than the Liv names.
Yeah. Okay. So, I haven't done enough research on the rollback to get into that. My personal thoughts on it is the driver is the issue, not the golf ball. The tech in golf clubs now is so advanced that it makes it so much easier to hit the ball. I think making the driver in the fairway woods a difficult golf club to hit and rewarding guys that can hit it in the center of the face repeatedly would change a lot. So we'll get into that after we get a little bit more details on exactly what is happening. Cause I don't know how they're going to roll it back. I don't know what they're changing. So as soon as we find all that out, unless any of you guys have looked at it and you know.
No, I have a quick take. Mark chimed in and he said he's heard that Rahm is negotiating to change the format of LIV tournaments, maybe to qualify for the official world golf ranking. So that would make sense. I mean, I of course, Rahm wants to be eligible for world golf ranking.
And this is why, if what I don't understand, why do you care about the official world golf rankings? if Liv is so much better and it's such a better life and it's such a better lifestyle.
Rom has never said anything like that, right? Rom wants to play to be the best he possibly can, right? So he wants to be able to play in majors and qualify for things. He also wants his money. So he's either going to negotiate for official world golf rankings and get his money, or he's probably going to play for official world golf rankings. That might be some kind of thing where, you know, that could be the breaking point for him. If they can't change their format to where it's a 3-day fucking scramble tournament, which they do right now, basically, you know, Rom might be out, but they're probably going to cater to Rom because he is one of the biggest names. I mean, he's top five names in the game. No doubt about that. So, and they want him, so they might change it. And Phil's going to be very tired after his third day of playing golf, and he won't compete on the fourth day. So take some theme.
So you think Rom can move the needle more for Liv than Phil, Bryson, Justin?
100%. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
All those other guys?
No doubt about it.
Really?
No doubt about it.
Just because of his
recent global US Open winner, recent Masters winner, club foot fucking swinging.
Phil connects
to those people.
Phil Mickelson, Bryson, DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, all those guys are multiple winners.
But they've been gone for like 3 years now. Nobody cares about them as much as they do Rom now. Rom would be the forefront of the next wave.
All right. So Roga, we're gonna reach out to the guys at Loop Golf and see if they want to come on and talk about the show or talk to us on the show about their golf app. If you haven't checked it out, on Instagram, it's at Loop Golf Club, LOOP Golf Club. And what it is, it's a wagering app where it takes your information and it uses gin. You have to verify your handicap with it. And you can wager with somebody in your group. And then, like Joe and I today, we did a match play. We did five in the front, five in the back, 10 total. And then other people that are users on the app can also hop in and place wagers.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we used it. And Pins and Passports hopped on. And we think one of the founders was who the other guy was.
Yeah. Bumger or something like that. So he's one of the co-founders.
And they hopped on and got into some action on it. And it's really unique. And I am somebody that when I see one of my friends is playing on 18 birdies, you know, I'll do the, and I'm not like I'm at home or I'm off doing something, whatever.
Watching Ricky Lake or something.
Yeah. And I'm not playing. I'll turn on the notification. So hole by hole notification. So I see how their round is going. This is like that, kind of.
Yeah.
But you're wagering on it. You guys, fuck you and your Ricky Lake.
Ricky Lake reruns. I'm sorry. That's not live.
It's Bold and the Beautiful, goddamn it, Joe.
Young and the Restless.
So if that's something that you are interested in doing, because I heard you and Jeremy talking about it, that we never settle up when we're done.
Yeah, and I was talking to Barrels, Pins and Passports. He's like a investor, the marketing dude, anything they need, he's one of those. So I was chatting with him a little bit ago after our round, giving him my insights into the app. And I mean, it's a really great app. Like, you create a wallet, right? And you wager, and then you can, other people that are not playing with you can bet on your totals or against you or whatever, and you can accept those wagers or decline them. There's also side games in there, which are kind of interesting. Like, me and Matt played a closest to the pin, which I won, but I also four putted, but we did not establish that you had to validate. So Matt missed the green, but anyway, it's really,
I was
cool,
technically closer,
but he was closer, but he was not on the green. But most of the time when we all play, I mean, we don't really care about the money. We just want some sort of competition. We rarely ever square up. I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but right, this commits you to it, right? So at the end of the round, like, I needed to make an eagle on the par five. So I was like, I have to go for it, because Barrels and the Mike dude bet that I would shoot over 83.5. So I had to make an eagle. So I was still in the game trying to win those bets, which which was nice. I mean, and it didn't feel like a ton of pressure, but it was nice to have that. And I couldn't back out of my bet because my money was already in the pot. So yeah.
I had to make really a bogey cool. on the last hole and hit a tee shot that left me. I was stuck. I had to punch out sideways out of a bunker on a long ass par five, and then didn't hit the next couple shots well, and hit my chip shot, ran past the hole. And so I told Barbara, I said, I have to make this putt.
Yeah.
So I have to make this putt.
He ultra read it.
Yeah. So we got the both sides look and, you know, and he stepped it off and, you know, poor execution on my part, but, that it made another element of the game that was totally. Quite interesting.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to get out there and download Loop Golf, club, I think it might be Loop Golf Ledger on the App Store. I'm going to try and be more active on it as much as I can when I do play. And I'm going to try and keep my eye out for anybody that I know that's playing and bet against you or bet with you, whatever the case may
be. And I'll have it in the show notes too for everybody.
Yeah. And I think it's a fantastic idea. And they're only making updates. They're pretty new. I think they're like a year in. But I think the only thing, which I told Barrels, I said, the only thing that I think that would make this better is if a lot of my homies had it. So I could bet on them,
yep,
or with them or against them while they're playing golf when I can't play golf, because I can watch their rounds and also bet with or against them. So,
you know, I would,
that sounds really cool. Really, so you can't do that right now?
You can, right? So, but, yeah, but there's not a lot of people on the,
not a lot of people know yet. About it.
So
signed up.
That's the thing. Like I know, Pins of Passports. I know Tyler Munns uses it. Fade and Fairway uses mm-hmm. it. So I'll see them, but I don't check it that often, but I can bet against them or bet with them. And if they're playing matches, but...
and Tyler plays a lot of golf by himself. So true. He's not betting with the people he's with. He's just playing and yeah. people are like, I think you're going to shoot one over today, you know?
Or... Yeah. Yeah. Think of like you're betting on a football game. Like, the total score of this game is going to be 44 and a half. So I can bet, like, say if Matt goes out, plays by himself, I can say like, Matt, you're going to shoot, I'm going to set the line at 86 and a half. And I think you're going to shoot over that. So he could accept my bet and bet on him to shoot under that.
Or decline it. You don't have to.
Or decline it. You don't have to accept it, but it's really cool. And it's, I think if every one of our Vegas Golf Network gets on it, it'd be really fun during the tournaments. Like if say Vic Sanchez or like El Dan is out there and I'm like seeing them playing and I could throw a bet out against them. Like, you know, I'm coming for you or whatever the case may be. It's a lot of fun and it's going to be really cool and it's only going to get better.
All I'm thinking about is the Golf Fathers. The Golf Fathers would love the shit out of that app. So I don't know if any of you guys are watching, but, that sounds like it's definitely up your alley.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I think because golfers, you can tell golfers are behind it because it just feels more golfy than some. It's very Vegas. App.
So like we should probably get their logo on the sphere. We should probably get them to sponsor the GN. we should probably fucking do golf cart races down the strip or something. I mean, it's endless possibilities.
All right. So last thing before we really dig in here with Jed, we had our VGN finals, the final tournament of the season. We crowned our winners. I'll pop this up here real quick and show everybody who that was. So Trey won the diamonds division. Doug Doe won the spades division. Jack won the hearts division. And Dan Higdon won the clubs division. So congrats to all those guys right there. Trey, Doug, and Dan, along with Chris Perez, won the tournament. And they won a free entry into next season. So congrats to those guys as well. Kind of a shit show over the weekend.
Oh no, don't get him started.
No, check I'm not going to get into it. Yeah. I told everybody, in the email that I sent out, cause the people that weren't involved in the finals, they didn't know what took place. But there was a course mix up. So we were supposed to play Concord Saturday as a shotgun and Lexington Sunday as tee times, and they got it backwards and I accidentally found out. So yeah, it's a little bit stressful, but it all came together. We've got a great group of guys. I was stressed and everybody's like, we know it's not you. It's all good. And it turned out pretty well. I was pretty happy with everybody. So I think Lexington was amazing. Concord was in great shape for, you know, it being a half dormant, half green course. The greens were good. Still got bunker problems out there, but you know, everybody got to play out of them.
And, greens look better though. So
yeah, greens were looking really good. So congrats to that. And the new season will kick off in February, end of February out at Las Vegas National. So if you are listening to this and you are not a VGN member and you want to be one, you can go to the Vegas Golf Network website, vegasgolfnetwork.com, and check that out.
Yeah. So, or if you need clubs built, I mean, Matt builds clubs. I mean, he did a great job. Your boy was on fire. I mean, shout out Matt for building my clubs. No spinning ferrules currently, so.
This guy. And then one last thing. I want to give some love to the Golf Stop. This, you know, been going there a couple weeks, 3 weeks now, 4 weeks now, playing. Jeremy and I went and played. What did we play this last week, Jeremy? What course? I don't even remember.
Oh my gosh, I can't remember.
We got to go play Frisco out there. That's what
I did. I played Frisco. I played 9 holes at Frisco.
Yeah, okay.
And then, we played where the Evian is in France.
Yeah,
played that course. Okay. Had a blast. It was a great time. I know Miles has signed up. Nick Tangeman has signed up. We're getting some VGN action going on in there. Great place. Golf Stop on St. Rose. If you haven't checked it out, please go do so.
Yeah, shout out Golf Stop. Premium spot to practice your shots. Play some rounds with your buddies. They got some beers on draft. They got snacks. There's a McDonald's across the street if you're fiending for some shit food.
It's not really across the street. It's in the parking lot.
It's in the parking lot. Yeah, it's right there.
But and Jersey Mike's is about to open, which is right next door.
That'll be even better. Get some of that Jersey juice. but yeah, it's a great spot. Go check it out, especially if you're in the area. It's right down the street from us, so it's a fantastic spot. Go check it out. Golf Stop is the best place
and to play. Speaking of new places coming, Steven Jackson was kind enough to tell me that there is a new farm basket that is coming to the Blue Diamond and Rainbow area.
What?
Yes. Yep. So yeah. Farm basket fanboys, me, Joe, Dan, Jed, you've been in Vegas forever.
Well, I was going to ask you guys, is there another one other than the one way over here on Charleston?
No. There used to be one on Las Vegas Boulevard in Cheyenne, and there used to be one on Trop and Spencer. But I think the one on Charleston's the only one.
Is the one I've known for years and years. I just know you guys all live on the other side of town.
Jones and Spring Mountain, Trop and Eastern, there was one. But man, Farm Basket is making a return, and I am very thankful. Oh,
yeah. Yes, let's hope it has more than 4 booths. okay, so that's
Gage
it.
Gage in and the chat. Right. Gage is in the chat.
Yeah. Oh, what's up, Gage? Yeah,
he's ready to hear from Jed. I mean, we've covered all of our weekly stuff, right?
Yeah, we got our dishes clean. They're in
Jed's
the washer.
The celebrity of Las Vegas golf this week, so we're turning it over. I know you guys have been waiting, but it's coming. So, and we're here now. Thanks for everybody tuning in, and it's a pleasure to have Jed here on the pod.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Celebrity of the week was the coolest thing when I came out to see you guys Saturday. That someone yelled at me, and he actually came in. I'm sorry, I forgot his name, but he came into one of my pieces and said, I was the one that yelled that at you. And I was like, that was the best part of my day. That was cool. I mean, it was a good heckle, the year at the wrong golf course, but celebrity of the week was pretty good.
Yeah. You've been making your rounds. So, I mean, the view,
the free agent tour.
Yeah. The view is very different for you. I mean, have you ever been to Revere before? Have you ever seen those views? I mean, you were at Desert Pines, and I think you might have played. Where did you play with Gage at Durango Hills?
Yeah,
it looks so like.
Gage was. So what happened was, how that whole thing started is, well, yeah, I don't know where to start, but for how this weekend went was Friday night. I just was. I didn't know what to do with myself because I spend or spent a lot of time on my job. And we can get into a little bit of that if we want. I think that I'd like to do that, but there's a couple things that I want to focus on more than others. But the way that this weekend happened was I just didn't know what to do, and I wanted to do something. And then it just hit me late Friday night. I said, all these guys are out playing all weekend. I should just go out and introduce myself to other golf course guys, stop in the golf shops, explain my situation, get to come out, see guys, make content. It was cool, really cool to make the Sunday one. But yeah, so I just put in my stories, whoever's playing golf, hit me up and let me know. I just want to maybe swing by. And Joe was the first one who popped right in and said, we're playing at Revere tomorrow morning. I said, great, see you there. And then Ron got in early Saturday morning too and said that they were doing the charity event for the Feet Foundation over at Desert Pines. And the Feet Foundation was actually the last certificate. So what happens with golf tournaments, fundraising golf tournaments, I'm sure you guys do this too with your events, is you go to other golf courses and you ask for rounds of golf that you can donate off and you can make more money for your charity. We tend to do those for groups that are playing golf because it's a golf tournament and it's a lead for us to possibly get the group the next year, right? So this Feet Foundation certificate was the last one that I did a couple of weeks ago. And so it just was kind of kismet. I got to go out there and meet the guys, and that one was really fun. But yeah, I just came up with the free agent tour because it looked like that's what I was going to be doing, just bouncing around. And then Gage said that he was going to be playing Monday morning, and he said, come play. And I have to say this. I don't have to say this. I need to say this. I've had a lot of guys this last year and a half try to get me to play golf, and I just haven't played the game in a long, long time. And Gage has been the one who has asked the most all summer long. And so he was like, you don't even have a job anymore. You have to come play.
Yeah. No excuses.
I was just going to go hit like a wedge, right? And I hit one, and him and his buddy, Rick, were having such a good time. And they were just out there on a Monday morning. And they were like, I think Rick said to Gage on the first tee that I showed up at, he hit one that he didn't like. And he goes, can I have a mulligan? And Gage is like, of course. What are we doing out here? And as soon as that kind of level of vibe was going on, I sat and I finished the round. So I showed up at 6, Gage. You can type in the comments if that's wrong. But I showed up on hole 6 and I kept thinking after every hole, I'm like, okay, I'm going to tell him thanks. And I just wanted to keep playing. I was having fun.
Yeah, it was like,
and
pulled back the curtain. How did it feel? It's been what, 13 years?
It still feels weird. I think the last round I played was technically about 8 years ago.
Okay.
But then it was probably another 5 before that. And right. It has been very, very little golf in the last 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. You've been hiding the swing, Jed. I saw that.
Well, the swing wasn't that good all day, but Gage captured a couple of them without even telling me. And the good ones, I think, were the ones that he sent to me that I could use for content. So that was fun. So, but that's how this weekend ended up happening.
So how do you feel about playing golf now? Now that you're not tied down to a golf course and you've actually hit some shots and it's been a long time, right? Like, do you think you've fallen in love with the game again, or are you trying to play, or is it just a one-time thing, or what?
Oh, no, I'll definitely play again, but I fell in love with the game again this time 2 years ago. So I'm a third-generation golfer. My dad's dad built and ran golf courses. He built his own little 9-hole golf course on the West Slope in Colorado in a town called Montrose, and he ran and operated this golf course himself. He was the head superintendent and the head golf pro. And then he had my dad, and my dad grew up, was a really good player, played on the tour in the 70s, and then he built and ran golf courses when he wasn't good enough to compete anymore. So I was born into the game and started I started playing at 9 and then started working at 10 at the golf course in Arizona called Pine Top Country Club. So I was born a lifer and a purist and raised to do that. Played in high school, was pretty good. I mean, I could play, and I could have played. I couldn't have played for a D1 school, but I could have gotten a golf scholarship and played, not had to pay for college. And I just didn't love the game. It was too big of a shadow. My dad and I was too competitive and didn't have the right head for it. I just tortured myself and broke my brain, you know, when I was 15 to 18 years old. And so I traded my clubs away for a guitar. And that's where the love for playing left. And then my love came back for golf when I started back at Angel Park in 2005. And golf had changed where they had sales position jobs. And I was coming from the casino marketing world. I started in telemarketing and became a casino host. And so I was good at sales. And I didn't really like the casino future, because casino hosts, the older guys that I looked around, I didn't see anybody as a role model that I was like, I wouldn't mind being there in 20 or 30 or 40 years. And
it's
then
easy to
golf
say I don't want
had,
that.
Well, yeah, yeah, right. And then golf started having sales though, so selling tournaments. So I got into golf as kind of a casino host for the golf course, right at a time where that was kind of a thing. And I did group sales for the next 15 years until the pandemic. And I loved golf all that time. I just didn't love playing. Like I love the game. I watch it religiously. Yeah. I love the culture. I love that I'm a purist who has started to change his mind on a lot of things.
I'm curious. We got a new wave of golfers, right?
Right.
Since COVID. And there's Correct. A lot of new golfers, and they probably wish they picked up the game when you did.
Sure.
And they wonder where they would be currently if they
would have
picked it up when you did.
You know, what's funny about that is I wish that I could have picked up the game when they did.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like, why did it fall out? Yeah. Go for it.
Like, I just think that there's a lot more fun in the game. The bottom line, the new golfers that are coming in, just for me, my sense is that they have more fun than the guys that I remember coming up with. It's not that we didn't have fun. We all had fun playing, but golf just seemed so much more pressurized. And I don't know if that was my upbringing and relationship to it, but Random Golf Club is a good example, and Tropicana Golf Club and Barbershop is a good example. These are guys who are getting into the game recently. Almost all of them have been in the game 3, 4, 5 years tops, and most of them for 3 since the pandemic. And they just have fun. It's hard to find guys in those groups that aren't having a great time, always. And golf's never been like that I've seen. There are guys that are just constantly picking at what's wrong with something, right?
Yeah.
And afraid of change. And I was taught that the most important thing for the game is to grow the game. So the pandemic felt like the most exciting thing that could ever happen to golf for me, in my opinion. But yes, to bring it back to playing yesterday, I did fall back in love with just swinging a club. I missed it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go swing again tomorrow, and I can't fucking believe I'm saying it, right? Like, that, I would have laughed you out of the room 2 years ago. You know, I would have wagered money I couldn't afford. Yeah. That's all funny.
Right. Before we dive deep into growing the game, because I know that's where you were going, right, Matt?
No. I didn't want to get into that. I respect people that actually have good hearts and intention with growing the game. I can't stand the people that use growing the game as an excuse.
I was just going to say it. It sounds like there's a wave of soul golfers coming. Bean and cheese burrito eaters of the world, unite. Soul golf, we are here. All right, go ahead, Matt. Sorry. All right.
So I want to dive into what made you want to start Golf at the Park, and what was your idea for what it was to be, and what is the difference for what it became?
Oh, that's interesting. The original idea. So what happened is the pandemic, I got really sick and almost died. I was in and out of the hospital a lot of the early 2001. And it took me a long time to get better. It took me a long time to adjust my body to not drinking anymore. I had a bad drinking problem. Everything coalesced. I didn't know I had mental illness. Everything coalesced almost exactly 2 years ago. And when I got on the right medication, and then my doctors told me that I was healthy again, I had a second shot at life. So I was shot out of a cannon. And seriously, it's been that way for over 2 years now. And I wanted to learn as much as I could about the social marketing aspect of things, because I was seeing so many influencers doing things for companies and free advertising and free eyeballs. And I just wanted to be on the front edge of that. And it didn't seem like golf courses were doing that. So I wanted to approach our social media idea or drive.
I don't want to interrupt you, but why do you think golf courses don't? What is the, why is typical golf course social media stock bad photos and come play in our wine mixer? It's
Microsoft Word pieces that say, come join our scramble. We got breakfast burritos for you. It's a shot of a reindeer from fucking print shop. Like,
no, I agree. And that's not, why do I think that is?
Yeah.
I can tell you, well, I can guess, I'm not sure that I know for sure, but I can tell you that, just an example of when, our new management and ownership just came in, they tended to almost to a piece. You could almost separate them. If I would take a picture, a really good picture, and post it, that was liked and acknowledged that that was what they thought I should be doing. But as soon as it was a video of any kind, it seemed to not have any interest to them, to both my general manager and my corporate office. They never really, it was, I don't want to say anything bad, right? Like, and I don't say that because I'm trying to take the high road.
No, I'll say it. I mean, golf courses are out of whack. They don't see the future. We've been a promoter of yours for a while, right? You saw the future. You're the futurist in a world where they are the pastest. That's not the correct word, but they don't understand what social media can do for a golf course, because social media is the wave of the future. Everybody is on social media, whether it's my mom, who asked me for a Soul Golf sticker the other day. I'm like, I never thought you would want that sticker from my mom. I brought them with me to the golf course. Like, it is a wave of the future. And for a corporation to not see that future is absolutely insane for their investors or people that are invested in the company. Like, it's coming. And you are.
It is coming. I think part of that's golf, though, right?
Yeah,
I
totally. Mean, totally. 100%.
I think it's specifically a golf issue because, you know, our last management company was Troon, and Troon was trying to do some of the same and have done, and it's done really well. They've partnered, I think, with NBC at this point, and they're running NBC-level broadcasts out of their Troon golf courses. So they're on it where it's top-notch, super high-end quality, professional. If I was able to put something together that looked like that looks, then I think that they would have been into it a lot more. But a lot of it is a growing process and learning and
absolutely
putting together the right things.
Totally.
One of the things that I was proud of that will give Joe more ammunition, but I don't mean it that way, is they didn't pay for anything. I mean,
yeah, right. That's everybody that asked me, I told them that. I'm like,
out of pocket.
Nothing out of pocket.
Everything out of pocket for us. Nothing. Yeah. I mean, so I did think that it was something that would at least be given more consideration. I'm not sure that anybody from above to corporate ever watched the shows. Yeah. I started mixing in the summer after they had started. Well, right when I started, I said, hey, let me start putting some Arcus stuff at the bottom, links. We should bring in Arcus people to have them on the show. And they just weren't into it. They just weren't interested. They just didn't, it wasn't an interest to them. And that's not a bad thing. If they just don't think about it the same way that I did. But one of the things that I guess I'm puzzled about is why, I want to focus it on my love for Angel Park. You know, it's my home. And I love it. And I remember that my new general manager came to me at one point a month in, and he said, hey, Jed, I just want you to remember how special Angel Park is, how great Angel Park is. If Angel Park was a beautiful woman, she'd be a 10. I just remember thinking that's when I started to know that he doesn't know me at all and probably isn't interested in doing that, because nobody is a bigger fan of that golf course than me. And that love has not changed. And I love all those people. And I don't even hold anything personally against anybody personally or corporate. I just think that they made a wrong decision. I wonder why I had never been written up. I had never really been talked to. There were two times that I was asked to pull a content piece that I put up, and I immediately pulled it because they said that that wasn't what they wanted to do. They came in and kind of changed things early, you know, and I understood why. They didn't want faces. They wanted Angel Park to be the face.
Yeah,
and that's a perfectly well way to approach your business model. I get it. But when they were starting to change things, I should have known that it was going to hit an end of the line at some point. It just seems like it came out of nowhere.
No, yeah, exactly.
At Christmas.
Yeah. As the show was growing.
Yeah. I really think it was on, well,
you it just wasn't hit the million.
Of something. You we just, hit a milli yeah. off of one of the
a week or two before, right?
Yeah.
And it's not the million views, because everybody knows that that's someone who maybe saw it for 3 seconds. That counts them.
Yeah.
It's the 77,000 shares.
Yeah.
Which means that 77,000 people sent that
resonated
to at least one person.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they resonated with it.
And everything Angel Park's name is all over it, and it just our followers on Instagram from 2 years ago, we were at 979. Like, it was, I remember the number, and we're at over 4,000. I think we cleared 4,600 right before I left, so well over 400% in 2 years, and it's important that people understand.
If you put that money in a stock, like, you'd be happy.
I mean, the growth, the groups that either started at Angel Park or started coming to Angel Park from regionally, from Southern California. I mean, all of these things were built. But I think what I'd like to maybe underline when I brought up my telemarketing background is that, you know, there's a way to work social media like a telemarketer would. And that's what I did. You know, on those 77,000 shares, you can go find all those people and you can go like their pictures.
That's data.
And you can write in there. I mean, it's all engagement. It's posting a story once an hour. So that every hour or so, your thing is popped up and sliding on the top of someone's Instagram feed. So they're more likely to watch your stories. And you can find the times, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., when it's best to release pieces. I studied all of those algorithms, and I tried to find the maximum reach possible always. Yeah. And that meant being on the phone all the time, all the time. And I loved it so much that I was doing it when I woke up in the morning to when I went to bed at night. And so when I stopped working, it just didn't make sense to do anything else. Yeah. Like my favorite things to do on a break or in free time is I'll go play with my dog or I'll go to the jacuzzi. I love being in my jacuzzi. Friday, I tried to go to my jacuzzi two different times and I couldn't do it. I was like, I don't deserve to go sit in a place. I just needed to be doing something.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how the last 4 or 5 days have been. But, and I've already rambled too much. I've probably gotten a little off topic. One of the things that I want to make sure that I say is what's been fascinating to me is I keep waiting to feel more angry.
Yeah.
I haven't felt angry yet. Like, I've been really fucking sad. And I've been a little nervous, but I haven't even really been nervous. I haven't been angry or nervous. I've been excited. I'm really excited for the future. And I have no idea what it looks like. I really don't yet.
Yeah.
But my friend who was the vice president over at Troon, he reached out to me. A few different people have reached out to me that I think it won't be very hard for me to find another job in golf. But then I've also gotten to the point where I don't know if I want to work in corporate golf.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially the way that it ended at Angel Park. If I don't want to work, like, I wouldn't go back to work there now that I see the way that it kind of went down. And if I don't want to work at my favorite place in the world, right? I don't know that I even want to go work for one golf course. So
it's funny, right? So like, I think you were, I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, as is Matt. Mm-hmm. Angel Park was the first place I ever played golf with my dad when I was 6, 7, something like that.
We did that all the time.
My grandpa was a marshal out there. He was at the bar every single day. My grandma, step grandma, whatever you want to call her, she was a pain in the ass, and he would hang out at that bar every day because he lived down the street, and he was there every day. And my dad took me out there a couple times. I've told the story on the Golf at the Park podcast, which is yet to be aired, and hopefully we hear that at some point.
Yours will be aired. It's just going to have to drop on a new YouTube channel, and I haven't decided if it's going to be my personal one. But I can't wait to drop.
Yeah, you'll hear that story. But it was a community park, basically, for the most part, for years and years and years. Arnold Palmer, King of Golf, designed it, right? So, and it has always been a community aspect, and you really broadcast that aspect of it 20 years later and brought the community to it, because it's always been that place, but nobody really saw it the way that you broadcast it to the world or social media. And it's a shame. And I mean, I've been so pissed because I'm not a corporate guy, and it just blows my fucking mind. And we are allowed to cuss on this podcast, and we weren't on Golf at the Park, but it blows my fucking mind that somebody would take that away from a community of golfers when it only benefits the golf course because it literally did not cost them anything. And there has been a generation or two probably that have been going there since they were kids or because it's the only lit spot in that side of town. And it's just, that's why I was so pissed because it fucking blows my mind.
We would say all the time, like, God, I wish it was closer.
Totally.
We would go there so much more.
In this last year, I've had more people tell me that they wished Angel Park is on the other side of town than I've had people tell me that they like the show. That comes up always, always.
There should be 10 Angel Parks in this town, and there's one.
We're in Vegas.
Well, it does not suck. And you know, fair, they're gonna do cool stuff there too. So I'm also bummed that I'm not gonna be a part of that. But also, they're probably gonna raise rates. You know, I mean, it's the way that it's gonna be. And I'm not here to say whether that's a good decision or a bad decision.
I'll say it. Terrible.
there's something that I feel like definitely could be something in the middle, and I don't know why they were, you know, I think that the feedback from the community must have kickstarted something a little bit, because I was told that they didn't want me to do the show, and it was cool because they said, I mean, it wasn't cool, but it wasn't going to surprise me if the day came that they came and said that they didn't want me to do the show. That I wouldn't have been surprised of and wasn't. And I thought that I handled it well because they handled it well. They said, we don't want to discourage you from doing it. And if you want to do it on your own time, I think that they thought that I wasn't putting near as much time into my job as I do.
Let's get into that real quick, because Gage did ask for the play-by-play, because you did post a video where it was like, it's on, I can do it on my own terms. And then you posted that video that said a few hours later, and then you got let go. So how did that 2-3 hour time span work out? What was that like? Because
it wasn't that fast. What happened was, so I got let go on, I guess I'm going to have to make sure that I even got the days right. Did I get let go on Thursday? I think it was Thursday.
I think so. Wednesday or Thursday?
Oh, no. I think Thursday they canceled. No, they canceled the show on Tuesday. I got let go on Thursday. Okay. That's what happened. They canceled the show on Tuesday, and I went to my stories and just posted a little thing that said, I can almost remember it word for word. I said, well, got some bad news today. Golf the Park is no longer going to be on the air. And so that's what happened to me today. And I just said it just like that.
Yeah.
And it started kind of a thing. Because there is reach now and people who care about the show. And so once one person heard that, and they shared it, and they shared it, and or someone would tell someone else, and then my phone started going off, and texts and messages started coming in, and and so the next day I went in and I went to my last morning when I was going to record the show, right? So that's when I sat down and recorded the, hey, but everything's going to be all right. And I even tagged it out, like, from your friends at Angel Park, because it was goodbye. It was like, see you later. But I wasn't going to post it on Angel Park's page because we weren't doing any more Golf the Park stuff. It was just going to be on my stuff. And it was. The next day, I was in my office and I was working, and I looked down at my phone and it was out. And so I went to my computer. And when I mean out, my Instagram was like kicked out. And so I went in and I told our HR person, and then I was asked to go into my general manager's office, and that was it. So I think there was some frustration with the minor PR hit, that which I guess is what you would call it. I mean, it was definitely minor, but it was significant enough that I mean, it made them make their decision, I think. I mean, it doesn't make much sense anything other than that to me. And again, man, it's a business thing.
Totally. I get it.
Get mad about it, or I can just figure out what I'm going to do next. You know,
I know when I saw you, Revere, I told you that like during COVID, when we were slow with my job, I wish I had taken opportunities to do something with it. And I think you are presented with an opportunity currently to really build upon what you've built the foundation on. And I think that it's your time to really try and do something. And I think you have done something, and it might not be the biggest shit in the world, but it's something. And that's where you have to start from.
It resonated with the community.
So many
and
people.
That's what was special about it. Totally. Because, you know, in this town of transients, that there's not a lot of things that we can grab onto and say, this is ours. That show was, you know, it wasn't for the tourists. It wasn't for the people playing, you know, $1,000 at Shadow Creek. It was for the people that play the Tuesday afternoon at Cloud Nine with their boys. And that's what resonated with everybody. And they shit on it. And it's upsetting.
Yeah. And being a local podcast, like, you know, we weren't really competitors, but we were in the same market, right? Like, we are here for each other. You know, we hyped you up as much as we possibly, like, if somebody came in and shut down Chasing Daylight podcast, I would be fucking egging. I would be whatever I could do. Like, it's bullshit.
Right.
It's such a it's shitty. Like, it makes no fucking sense at all.
That would be my wife.
Yeah. Erica, do not shut down the Chasing Daylight podcast or I'm coming for you. Go ahead, Jed.
No, but I mean, the good news is that I'm definitely going to do a show. I don't know what I'm going to do for work, but the show turned in. Oh, that was something that Matt asked, is into what it became. The show started out just as trying to be a way to tell people about people who play at and work at Angel Park. So the first four episodes were all employees. It was Alan and Kareem and Ben, even though we ended up reshooting his. And then it turned into locals and regulars. And then we had some group leaders. And then we started getting into more influencers. And I think Shayna Lennox, you guys all know her. Mm-hmm. She was the first kind of person that people knew through Instagram, but didn't know her. Like, they hadn't met, but everybody kind of knew who she was. And so that was fun when we got her on. We got to start talking about more about content production and content consumption. And so the game kept growing. But what it always was, interestingly enough, was a conversation about the differences in generations of golf, because there's a YouTube generation, right? And kids who learned how to play golf just by watching YouTube. And there's the pandemic, and so golf has changed. And then there's, so I've always said purists and new golf is my best way to just chop it down into short terms. But the show ended up becoming about all of that, all of the people who like each other or who want to know about each other. And then about content and about golf and about everybody's different view of golf. I think that's the most important. We all love golf. Everybody loves golf. If they get into it, they love it. You don't start and then get out. You don't. But everyone loves it differently. And I like talking about those things.
Okay. So you always ended your episodes asking people five questions, right? Was it five questions?
Yep.
All right. Par five.
What was it? What were the questions? Because I want you to answer them, because I'm sure everybody that has answered the questions has always been curious what your answers were.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun.
Yeah.
Question number one is, what's your favorite golf movie? And my favorite golf movie is 10 Cup, and it's not close. And I love all of the golf movies.
I could have guessed that. Yeah.
But I am Tin Cup through and through, because he's the perfect encapsulation of my grandfather and my father and myself. It's just, it's the perfect golf movie. That's also showing where I started to shift away from a purist, because the reason most people don't like the movie is because of the way it ends. Spoiler alert, he doesn't win the US Open. But it's still the best movie. It's the best.
I would have done the same thing on that hole.
Right? Yeah. Under those circumstances.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt, Joe.
He's stubborn. Well, I've gotten both of yours. Why don't you two answer what your favorite golf movie is?
Yeah, Dan, Jeremy.
Let's get it on.
Go ahead, Dan.
I would probably say Tin Cup also.
Nice. You know,
because, I mean, Caddyshack is Caddyshack. Everybody's like, oh, if it's Caddyshack or nothing. Caddyshack's fantastic. I love Caddyshack. But Tin Cup was, it resonated with me more because Caddyshack came out before I was born. So I was like 15 years old when Tin Cup came out. I was absolutely in love with golf. I was trying to play golf every single day. And I was a range rat, just like Roy McIlroy was in that movie. And so, yeah, it struck a chord with me. And the ending was just, it just made that movie, regardless if it was for a 12 or not. That was the perfect ending to that movie. And yeah, so yeah, for me, it's Tin Cup for sure.
And Jed, if you don't know, Dan used to work at Angel Park.
I did.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you, what years?
I worked there from 99 to 2002. Then I went over to Bears Best Academy.
The exact years that I was gone. I left in 98 to caddy at Shadow Creek and then came back in 05. So you worked 3 years at Angel Park since it's been open of the five that I didn't work at. That's funny.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy.
Jeremy, if you say 7 days in Utopia, you can't come back.
No, I'm not.
No, let's go. Say it. Say it.
No.
Say the eagle and the quadruple albatross, whatever that Amazon movie is.
No, I'm going to go. It's probably Tin Cup or Bagger Vance, but I'd probably say Legend of Bagger Vance.
Love that movie.
Great movie. A classic that's golf. My two.
Yeah.
That's my two.
We get a lot of Legend of Bagger Vance. We get that a lot on the show.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Yep. All right. What was the second question?
Question number two. What's your favorite club in your bag? And it used to be my four wood, but that was so long ago. I mean, that was before really hybrids. That's how old I am. I got to say, my favorite club is Gage Niche's.
There you go.
I hit that 7-iron pretty good yesterday. That was, as long as I was hitting the 7-iron, I felt great. So now my favorite club is a 7-iron.
You were smooth in that thing, Jed. Good to see you, man.
Yeah, it was a good time. Question number three.
Hold on. I think we got to do a triple joint. So I think we got to Dan and Jeremy on all these questions.
Yeah, keep going.
I love it. Let's go.
You lead off, Jed. Go ahead.
Favorite club in your bag and why, Jeremy?
Definitely my putter.
Damn good putter.
I just feel like
I was going to say whatever Titleist driver this week is in my bag.
No. Driver is very low. It's number 14 on the list. yeah, putter for sure. Like I feel like I'm always comfortable on the green, no matter what putt it is. I feel like I'm going to make the putt. I just love putting. It's really the best part of the game.
It's fun. I'm always envious of the people whose putter is their favorite club. That means that you can putt well, and that's the hardest thing to do.
True.
What about you, Dan?
Driver, for sure. For sure. Just love hitting bombs when I can. also, too, I'm kind of I pride myself in my low ball. I have a pretty good ability to hit a little stinger. So it's fun. It's just fun to hit the driver.
Dad, wait till you see this guy hit a ball. It's just ridiculous. The piercing it. It's like, welcome to Claire's. We're about to pierce yours because it's just
welcome to Claire's.
What's your club speed?
Like 116, 117.
That'll do it.
Ridiculous. All right, what's three?
Question number three is, what's your aiming fluid? So what are you drinking out on the golf course? And for most of my life, it would have been, well, I wasn't drinking it on the golf course, but there you go. That was your answer. Yep. That's right. Showing the little advertisement. It would have been tequila my whole life. I love tequila. Tequila is the only drink I miss, but I'm sober for, it'll be 3 years in February. So
nice. Congratulations on that.
On the golf course, yesterday on the golf course, I drank ginger ale all day long. That's my drink these days.
Nice.
All right, Dan, you go first. What's your aiming fluid?
I would say probably either 805 or Mango Kart. Like, 805 is probably, 805 is like my favorite beer, but there's something about a good breakfast beer in the Mango Kart at like 9 a.m. when everybody looks at you sideways, you know. It's just it's a good golf course beverage.
It's a hitter.
Yeah. I'm the same Mango Kart too. I think my life was changed at Torrey Pines last 2022. Is that the one that was?
Yeah.
I discovered Mango Kart with Dan and Mango Kart for sure.
You guys need to reach out for a sponsorship.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Golden Road Brewery.
That'd be awesome.
It's a girl that runs that brewery, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right, what's four?
Question number four is, okay, so we changed the question. We changed it from what's your, let's go
old school,
Jed.
Old school.
Old school Jed.
Old school Jed.
All right, so everybody, when they hit a bad shot, golfers, when they had a bad shot, they have a reaction. Everyone has a reaction. Some are internal, some are external. Some are club breaking, some are club throwing. But the most common thing, and the question was, do you have any particular word that you say when you hit a bad shot? Because most golfers tend to go back to the same word. That was the original question. And the way that I came up with that question was from James Lipton's Inside the Actors Studio, which is totally dating myself, but it was the show.
Wow. James Lipton, and I remember him, yeah.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, oh, Will, yeah. Ferrell. And Will Ferrell would do him on CSNS.
He would.
Yeah,
the big beard.
Yep.
Yeah. And at the end, he would ask, what's your favorite swear word? And I always, that was my favorite part of that show, is what the famous actor's favorite swear word was. And then when it dawned on me that all you hear on the golf course sometimes is swear words, it just made sense as a question. That got changed. So we started it talking about anger, but we'll do it old school. What's your favorite swear word? Mine is easy, and you would think it would be more common than it was, but I did have one other person say that it was theirs, but mine is jackass.
Jackass. And
generally you're a jackass or jackass. Or, why do you got to be a jackass?
Happy Gilmore.
Type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
James Lipton would be like, what's your favorite swear word?
Absolutely. Jeremy, what's yours? Do you have one? Because we would also get people that don't swear, too, right?
I swear.
So
it doesn't have to be a swear word, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Matt. Jeremy's, you hear that a lot good when you play with me. Oh, yeah. Matt.
I use them all evenly, like equally. There's no, like, discrimination on swear words. I say all.
So you
of them
don't have a favorite.
I don't have a favorite.
I don't even know what you say. Played a lot of golf with Jeremy, and I don't even know what he says.
It's probably muttering like that, dumbass, like under my breath. Probably.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What was that?
So do you find that you can shake it off pretty easy?
Jeremy is of the Club Breakers Club.
I
not when I got his Vokey wedge for free.
I had a history of breaking clubs, and it's funny because they're all wedges. I've been really good. I think I don't think I've broken one in 2 years now. So
since the SM8, yeah.
Since Joe got my sand wedge out of the garbage.
No.
Oh.
Remember, Jeremy, the three wood, and you smoked the tee marker at Bear's Best?
I did smash my three wood into the tee marker at Bear's Best. So, yeah, maybe a year.
Huge dent in that.
I still have that club, and I might put a shaft in it and try seeing if it's still viable. But, yeah, I'm a club breaker in recovery.
Definitely.
Dan?
I think with me, I have this patented one-handed finish move.
Yep.
Usually followed by a fuck. So that's, I don't really, I'm not really fancy. Yeah, yep. Just a lot of one-handed finishes and a lot of F-words.
All right. I want to do you guys first on this last one. Then question number 5, what's your dream foursome? Who wants to go first? Dan, you want to go first? So your dream foursome, you get any 3 people alive or dead to play one round of golf with. Who are you picking and where are you going to go play golf?
Ooh, where would be fantastic. My father, my grandfather, who also pretty much both of them brought me into the game. And then probably, you know, you would think you'd be like Tiger or something like that. But honestly, because my grandfather was Mexican and I grew up watching golf with him all day, Lee Trevino.
Trevino.
Boom. Great answer.
Lee Trevino. Trevino's
been
fourth.
Said a couple times on the show.
I said it. I said 4 different groups, so I'm breaking.
Yeah, you did. You got a lot. You won the title for the most dream foursomes.
Where are you playing, Dan?
Oh,
that was a good question. Most excited about.
That's a good question. I mean, if I could pick anywhere, I mean, it would probably be for me anyway. It would be Cypress Point, but just for the historics of everything, I'm going to say right next door at Pebble.
My father's with Cypress. Yeah, when we had him on the show.
That's my ultimate number one to get on.
Yep, he said it's the most beautiful place in the world.
Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. And also too, I'm a huge McKenzie fan, so
yeah.
You know,
who else worked on that is Mike Strantz.
Yeah, that's true. He did a little of the Renos and Monterey Peninsula Country Club.
All right, Jeremy.
Jeremy, what's your
name? Oh, man. I got to go with my dad, Freddie Couples, because he's my dad's favorite player, and that's boom, the boom. Player that I loved when I was a kid and still do.
Joe, did you ever know that I saw Freddie Couples at a
ball? I was going to say.
At National, right? love Freddie Couples. I'm going to say my fourth is probably a selfish one for me, and I'm going to go... As much as I love to do Tiger, I'm going Jordan Spieth. I just love watching him play. Ooh. Everything about his game, I love watching him play.
Titleist.
And funny enough, I would also choose Cypress Point. That's the place I want to go the most in the world. So,
yeah.
That's fun. All right, well, what's mine? Mine would be my brother first. My brother and I grew up playing together. He actually... has played all the way through, and he's much better player than I am. He can really play, and he enjoys playing, and so he would be number one with a bullet. My second one would be someone that no one's ever heard of that's watching the show, but he's a singer-songwriter out of Nashville by the name of Todd Snyder. And he's been my guru for the last like 4 or 5 years. I'm a songwriter on the side. It's just what I do as a hobby. And I would love to play golf with him. And then I would play golf with my oldest daughter, Bonnie Karen. She got into the game. She played left-handed, and she's not even left-handed. That's just the way she swung the club. She's 26 now. So she played guitar hero and played golf left-handed, even though she's right-handed. That was fun. So that's who I'd play with. My daughter, my brother, and Todd Snyder, which is really weird.
Where are you teeing it up at?
Augusta. Period. All day, every day.
All day, every day.
Yeah.
I like it.
It would be a distant second.
Man. Okay.
So there you go.
Were you able to see the difference prior to you doing what you did with the social media as far as people coming to the course, course recognition? Was there a way for you to say, like, if corporate came to you and said, prove to us what you're doing. Did you guys have a way to see what was happening?
Well, it's hard to track hard numbers, right? Because one of the things that I wanted to do in the summer was to try and offer like a link or a code through our social media channels for, let's say, 10% off. But it would be a way to track if they're clicking that link. You can only get that if you're on YouTube or if you're on Instagram, right? So, but they didn't want to do that. They were like, why would we do discounts and discount resort rates? So it was hard to track it. But what I can tell you is by certainly by the end of the summer, by September and October and November, I booked at least a foursome and sometimes as many as 16 players, resort players from SoCal and from Phoenix. I just booked them myself. So you could go into the T-sheets, I guess, and pull that my name booked those resort rates. But I don't think that they think that it mattered. It moved any needles. A lot of the groups would come in on discounts sometimes, right? So if I could get a guy a resident rate that was coming in on resort and he was going to do footage, then I would try to do that for the one guy that was shooting the footage. But
they're not impeding anyone at that point.
Oh, and they were cool with that. Like, yeah. I didn't have a problem doing those types of things. And nothing was ever taken advantage of. But I don't think that anything was shown enough on the positive side that they believed anything was happening, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
When you think just about the one contest that we had and the amount of engagement. I mean, I know we gave away a driver, but the amount of people that posted, I mean,
video was unreal. Yeah. It was unreal.
We had 108 submissions. Yeah. We had 108 pieces. I think I shared 33 on Angel Park's page that we accepted collaborator with. But I mean, we had over 100 people or pieces made by different people. The most, let's see, let me remember. Brandon had the most with 24, and Chris had second with 22, I think, were the numbers. So those two guys did get close to 50. But then that's still another almost 70 pieces. And very, very few people did more than one or two, you know.
I mean, on a conservative level, that's 2,000 eyeballs, or, you know, very conservative level.
On a very conservative. Very. Although you can go watch those. You can see how many, you can go to those pages and see how many times those reels have been played. Yeah. And I would print those out and I would take them in and I would try to show them, but it didn't spark with them. Yeah.
So what do you think it would take for them to go, wow, well, this is cool? Or is it just nothing that they understand? I'm curious because we see the benefits. We're golfers. We see the benefits of it, and we trash the courses that have a shitty social media outreach.
Totally. And we do it all the time.
Yeah. And so I'm so frustrated because I see so many courses that have so much potential to do amazing things. You guys did it. It was successful. What is it going to take for them to go, this has value? Is it all bottom line? Is it all just numbers?
Oh, no. I think that if another course, they're going to copy whatever. When we started doing local or live music in 2011 was when I, because I was a musician, I said, let's put music on the patio. Our patio is perfect. And when the weather's nice, it's the best place in town to sit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just put a live band out there and see what happens. And we were packed. Once a week, we had 100 people on that patio. And then within 6 weeks or 2 months, Rhodes Ranch had a live music night, and Legacy had a live music night. And then everybody started taking the idea. Once one course is successful, I think that they will start tapping in, but it's going to have to be successful where it comes from, like, I don't think they're tapped into word of mouth as much as maybe they should. Guys like Melosi in Southern Utah.
Yeah.
The word of mouth just around him is so impactful that when he shows up at Angel Park, there are all of these different people who are just there to play, just random customers who are like, that's Melosi, right? And that happened with Joey Coldcuts out at our golf course. And that happened with Eric Anders Lang out at our golf course. I mean, we had these guys that are heavy, heavy hitters. And so many of those eyeballs in their homes see them at Angel Park. And so the next time that they're coming to Vegas, they're more likely to go to Angel Park. Yep. That's not a number you can quantify, but it's a hard number to miss, I think, is what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
It seems odd that they don't take that into
consideration. Melosi may have single-handedly exposed the secret destination of St. George Golf and raised the rates in that city.
Yeah, he could have. Yeah, right.
Potentially.
Because he's promoted it so well.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Joe brought up the rate topic real quick. As you were in golf sales, and you saw the golf world in Vegas prior to COVID, where there was $19 after three, there was $24 after four, there was, you know, Monday through Thursday, $39 after noon, and now all that is gone. One of my biggest beefs that I have, and I want to get your thoughts on this from the other side of the counter. With all the water restrictions that have come down, Southern Nevada is leading the world in water conservation. I mean, it's amazing what they are doing. And the golf courses are taking a hit for it. They're not allowed to water as much. They've had to reduce grass. They've had to reduce water features. And the courses are just not as nice as they used to be. Not all of them. There are still some, like Mountain Course right now looks incredible. Darden is an amazing job. It's in phenomenal shape.
It's in such good shape.
Yeah, but a lot of the courses don't have as much watering ability. The courses are inferior to what they were 5 years ago, but the rates have tripled, quadrupled. Because there's not a lot of businesses out there where you get an inferior product and you're paying more. Typically, that will close a business down. But for golf, it's like the opposite. You can put trash out there and charge people ridiculous amounts of money, and they're going to pay it. And what's going on with that, in your opinion?
Well, I think again, you have to go back to, I think every business should at least intrinsically know this. We're a tourist destination. We're built on resort money. The entire city is that way. So it's not odd that golf is that way too. However, we're also such an interesting seasonal town, and that's how it affects golf. Because we have a couple of really amazing months that we can sell our golf course. And then we have shoulder seasons where you don't know what you're going to get. And so the demand is up because of the pandemic. So I don't know really how to get into, I mean, it's almost an economics discussion of supply and demand. But I think the important thing to remember is that the locals are going to be who always take care of you, right? Not the tourists. You make the money off of tourists, but there's something to be said for, and it seems cheesy to keep saying it, but it's the only word to use for it is it's a golf community. And to try to be as in touch with that as possible, I think should be every golf course's goal.
So a question I was wondering
needs
about.
To go watch Casino. They need to go watch Casino. Make sure all the blueberries are in the muffins for the tourists, and then you can skimp the locals a little bit. It won't be cool.
So a quick question I was wondering on that same kind of idea. And you know, I mean, obviously we don't want to know like the inside information on Angel Park, but what percentage of the tea times every day are for locals? If there is like a sort of a range.
Well, it doesn't really work that way, right? The way that it works is tournaments get first shot. So groups are booked, just like Matt was trying to book a VGN group with me next October. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll take group bookings at any time. So groups go on first. And then I think resort players can book times 90 days out, right? And then as you get closer and closer in, that's when locals and cardholders can book rates. So it's not that we really hold any rates necessarily just for resorts, but what they do is the dynamic pricing, mm-hmm. which is the same as an airline would do it, and to try to maximize the tea sheet and get the most out of the rate. So that's how that works.
So yeah, I mean, there's some courses in town that don't appear to care about locals at all.
Valley High,
Rio Seco.
And it, I mean, their excuse is their dynamic
it's
pricing.
It's so weird for me to be on a show that is just openly trashing golf courses, because that was one thing we made sure we didn't do on the show. I was like, hey, we can talk about other golf courses. We just can't trash them.
There's the one thing, man. Like Chasing Daylight podcast, we're going to tell you the truth. No matter what, it doesn't matter. We're going to tell you where you should play, where you shouldn't play at any time of the year. And anybody that's listening to this, you can hit any one of us up on this podcast, mm-hmm. and we'll tell you, don't play there, play here. We'll tell you where the best conditions are anytime. We are always available for you, and we'll let you know what you should do if you're visiting Vegas or you're a local or whatever the case may be, because we get around and we know what's going on in the city, and we'll let you know. We'll tell you the truth always.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
Yep. Mic drop.
Joe out.
Yeah. Thursday, the truth hurt.
Yeah. Right, so we have said the great reset. I can't remember somebody tagged it. Maybe it was El Dan that said that, or it was somebody said the great reset. And I said, I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
The great reset is going to happen.
Brett. It might have been Brett. I think Brett's been using that a long time.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I think it might have been him. And all these million new golfers are, some of them are going to stick around. A lot of them are not. And golf is going to get a reset of this. Oh my God, we have so much money coming in. This is amazing. To holy crap, what do we got to do to get people on the golf course? Do you see that happening?
Well, we saw it happen in 08, right? When the crash happened and everything, and Tiger was on the way down. Not on the way down is the wrong way to put it, but not 97, 99 not Tiger. Yet. There was a summer at Angel Park, like the summer of 9, maybe, where if I could get $25 on a Tuesday morning, we'd sell a golf group for $25 just to guarantee that we could fill the tee sheet, because if it was too hot, you know, we weren't gonna have anybody playing golf on the golf course. Wow. So it was a different time when that happened. And yeah, you would assume that it's going to happen. Who knows when though? I mean, golf does not seem to be anywhere near that, in my opinion. Will it happen? Yeah. But will it happen in the next year or two or three? No. Probably not. Yeah. I mean, it's going to take a while. So they're just going to ride the wave, you know? And it's tough. Like you said about the water, you're not going to get any more golf courses.
No,
you're only going to get. Yeah.
Yeah, that was another thing with Desert Pines going away, Royal Links went away.
You're only losing golf courses.
Silverstone's gone. Did you guys Do you think that has also led to so many more people going to different courses because their options are now limited?
Sure. Well, we got a big bump when Badlands closed.
You know? Yeah.
They were right across the street from us, and Angel Park got a huge bump from that. So that definitely is going to send people to other places. Have any of you guys been to Summit yet?
No.
Yeah.
Can you get us out there?
Yeah.
Dan has played it.
Oh yeah, what was that like? Because that's what I wanted to talk about. Was like, that's the only course in town I haven't played. I figured one of you guys had.
Well, I played it really early, and there wasn't the clubhouse wasn't built yet, so we were still into trailers. But it was fantastic. I mean, Discovery Land, they do golf right as far as how customer service, how they treat you. Quality of golf course also. Not a blade of grass untouched. As soon as you walk in, they had mimosas ready for us at the bag drop.
Wow.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I've never been to a golf course like that. And then once you go in, everything's free pretty much. All the comfort stations. And then the golf course was, like I said, it was beautiful. It was fantastic.
Yeah, the views are amazing.
Okay. It's not a super hard golf course, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, the PGA proved that. Okay. Is Shadow a $1,000 golf course?
No.
Is it a go ahead.
It's a $500 or $600 golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
I mean it's incredible. I can tell you that when I started there in 99, I couldn't drive onto the lot. I had to park like outside and then get taken in on a cart. You couldn't take a camera in. Like I wasn't allowed to even have a camera on me. It was a different time in the 90s, and it was incredible. But Southern Highlands and Cascada, they're all really nice too. Shadow Creek is the best and it's my favorite, but I just don't understand how anybody could ever pay $1,000 to play a golf.
Yeah,
I just don't get it.
It's crazy.
So so how can I phrase this? So let's not take tourists. Let's take locals. Okay. Not take the tourists out of it. Based on the golf courses that we have here compared to other places, I tell people, the thing that's awesome about Vegas, like I said at the beginning of the show, it's December, it was 70 degrees. We have, we can play 12 months out of the year. I've played in shorts in January. So we have the benefits for being able to play year round. But is the prices are just insane right now. And I think a lot of the courses are charging just way too much for the quality of the course. And does it hurt? Because this is what I say. I'll bring the tourists back into it. Somebody comes here and they get charged $350 to play Bally High. And they come and they experience Bally High, which, I mean, Joe's not a big fan of Bally High. I like it. It's a $80 course, in my opinion. It's not a $325 course. So those tourists come here and they go there and they pay that. And they're like, wow, this is way overpriced, but it's Vegas. I'm on a golf trip. I don't care. I've been in line at National where, I get the local rate of $69. The guy behind me gets hit for $190, and at Wild Horse, we pay $49 and the tourists are paying $125. And it's like, they're not going to come back. In my opinion, like you guys are charging way too much for this. And there's no connection with those people because there's no desire to get them back because they're here. Let's get them for what we can get them for. And they don't come back. Oh, well, I don't care. We got their money today. Does that mindset need to change?
Well, I don't think that they have that as a mindset. I don't think that they look at it that way. I think that they look at it as I don't think that they think people are leaving. What you're describing is people who play a lot of golf and play a lot of golf courses. And so wherever they're from, there are really good golf courses, there are average golf courses, there are not good golf courses. And they rate them on what they're worth. And then that's going to be different in a small town than in a city. And then in a city, different at, San Diego, then Vegas, then Salt Lake City, then Denver. But what you're assuming is that people are coming here and paying that and then going home and saying, well, the golf was okay, but it wasn't worth what we paid for it. And I don't know that a lot of people are saying that, at least about Angel Park. And so that's one of the reasons why I totally understand raising the rates. I wish that there was more of a emphasis on locals and community and that's where I think that I just wish that I didn't think they were lacking that way.
I miss some of the conversation, but it's like you can go to different parts of the country and play some incredible golf courses designed by incredible architects and pay less than you would at Angel Park. Like, I think Dan and myself are big, like, huge golf travel guys. Next hitting green shirt, huge golf travel guy. And go play like a Mike Strantz course at Caledonia or True Blue and pay $100. And you are playing a golf course like that is far superior than anything you're going to get in Las Vegas. Unless you're going to play the huge dollars. Like, you can go play Robert Trent Jones Trail in Alabama. Like, Trent Jones did, Southern Highlands. You can go play something that he designed in Alabama for, that's not private, for $80 probably in Alabama. Like, and I mean, we're a huge transient town and it's built on tourists. I get that. But like, there is a lot of golf to be discovered across this country. And there's a lot to see. And I totally emphasize and influence and expect you to get out there and go see all of it that you can.
You already brought it up. Someone already brought it up about St. George.
I mean, exactly.
There are hidden gems. There are hidden gems everywhere.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Jed. We haven't gone this long in a while. So thanks.
I was going to say, we've been on.
I think it's our longest podcast ever. I think it's our longest podcast ever.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Thank you so much for coming on. I hope we got some of the questions that people were wanting to know answered. We're excited for what you're going to be doing in the future. I know everybody's going to be staying tuned to Jed and the Talent on Instagram to find out where this takes you. The episodes, are you going to be able to get the old episodes?
Yeah, so I have all the episodes. I'll be able to put those on a web podcast or on podcast format. There's a lot of steps, but I've got guests booked and I'm ready to go. I don't have a name yet. I don't know how much I want to change a little bit of the format, but yeah, it'll be. I hope to have it launched. Not long into January. So that's what the plans is. Check with me early 2024.
Awesome. Any leads on where you're going to end up yet? Is the free agent tour still rolling?
No guesses. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Well, you guys will be the first to know.
Right.
Awesome.
Awesome.
It could be a lot of different things. I'm not going to jump into anything too quick.
Smart. All right, Joe, bring us home. Let's end this one.
All right. Thanks to my partners in crime, my so-called golf life, Bogey-Free 62. I am Stat Guy or Jeremy Mart, Jen Talent. Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure. Anybody that lands you as their talent at a golf course is very privileged. You are a futurist in the golf space. And any course that does not see that are complete idiots, in my opinion. You are doing something that a lot of golf courses are not doing. We have held you in high praises for a long time, and I think you're doing amazing things. Love your podcast. Love the community you've built. And anybody is going to be lucky to have you. So
thank you.
Keep your head held high. You are going to land somewhere way higher on the mountain than you have been. And I know we are behind you, and I know there's a lot of people behind you. So thanks for jumping on the Chasing Daylight podcast.
Awesome.
We are welcome to have you anytime you want to chat or just vent. We are here for you, and you are going to do great things, my friend. So until next week, I think we got Roden next week, right? Is that who we got lined up? Doc Roden from New Level Golf.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. I'm playing with him soon in Scottsdale. So, and then after that, I think we got Blind Squirrel Golf. I told them Monday, but now we've switched to Tuesday. So Blind Squirrel Golf, shout out my homie, Blind Squirrel Golf down in North Carolina. He's the homie. He's doing similar things to me, but he played Bally Hack, and he's played the OSHA course recently. So Dan and him can get together on that. But a lot of great things coming from Chasing Daylight Podcast. We're here for you every single week. Now we are doing live on Tuesday, but we are still dropping it on Wednesday as long as Matt stays up late enough and can edit it.
It ain't going to be 4 a.m. anymore. I'll tell you that much.
Hey, thanks for tuning in.
How long does it take you to edit this?
It depends.
It depends on how our audio and camera quality is.
Yeah.
Good enough.
Okay, edit this out, please. Can you edit this out, please?
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in. And as I said, we are here for you every single week. Shout out Jed and the talent. Go follow him on Instagram. Get involved with what he's doing. Shout out Golf, Luke Ledger Golf. And we'll see you next week. Until then, later.